We're going to look at six promises this morning that we can grab a hold of in 2018 and that we can live by. So I'm going to dive straight into it this morning. And to each promise, I'm going to back it up with the word of God. So not only are you going to have a promise that you can declare, you've got a scripture that can go with it. Okay, so when you're maybe going through stuff, you can dig it out and you can begin to pray through the Bible and what God promises you in his word. So number one, God, thank you, Paul. God promises us strength for the year. He promises us strength every day, but we're looking at this next year. God promises us strength for the year. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says this, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Do you know what? Time and time again in the Bible, God promises you strength. God promises to give you strength. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12 says this, "When I am weak, then I am strong." It says that God gives power to the weary and power to the weak. The Psalms tells you that God is our strength and our song. He's our light and our salvation. God is our strength. Our strength doesn't come from what we have necessarily. Our strength comes from what he gives us. So even if you're in here this morning and you think you've had a weak start to the year, I want to tell you this morning that God promises you strength as you move through 2018. This year we can have, even in our weak moments, his strength to live by. Anyone thankful for that? Anyone been through those times in their lives where you're going, "I'm just weak"? Okay, maybe it's physical weak. Maybe it's emotional weak. Maybe we're weak spiritually. Maybe we're struggling in our faith life. And this morning, I want to tell you that this year, God promises you strength in every situation. He promises to give you strength in every situation. God's strength can help us move forward. God's strength can help us forgive. God's strength can help us find energy. God's strength can help us find a way through. And God's strength can help us keep going. And you can add on anything else that you like, and God's strength will be there. God promises you strength. Maybe this morning, think of those areas in life where you might feel weak. This year, those areas can be strengthened through the power of God. Because God in his word promises you strength for every circumstance, for every day, for every hour, for every minute, for every second. God's strength is available to you. God's strength is there for you. What does it say in Isaiah? "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." In another version, it says this, "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength." Do you know what? This morning, in the presence of God, as you carry the presence of God wherever you are, as you sit in your office in Specsavers and get the Bible out. I loved that story this morning. Loved it. What are you reading? The Bible. Oh, loved it. Just everyday life. As you wait on God, as you hope in him, he can renew what you feel may be lacking. He can renew your strength. So that you will soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. This year, why not try doing this year in the strength God has for you rather than try doing it in your own strength? I don't know about you, but I try and do everything in my own strength sometimes. I don't know if anyone else is like that in here. And all of a sudden we wonder why it's not working, and then we realize, oh, it's my strength, it's not his strength. And we come back to that place where we wait on God. Strength comes through waiting on him and spending time in his presence. And strength can come through those that God puts around us as well. I don't know if you have those people in your world that just seem to strengthen you. I have those people in my world that some time spent with them and I'm strengthened, or Matt and I are strengthened. And I can remember a few years back, 2005 was a really rough year for us. And Math was really struggling, and he'd gone through a time where he'd had depression, and it was my first kind of running really with depression. I'd never experienced it before. I'd never been close to anyone who had majorly experienced it. And it was almost like he went into it really quickly, and it was quite bad. And we did the year, and nearly a year to the day, we had some friends come and see us, and they came down for the weekend. And things went a little bit kind of pear-shaped here just for a weekend. We just had one of those blips. And so I was answering phone calls all the time and all of that kind of stuff. And our friends had come to see us, and they left on the Sunday night, and all of a sudden we realized that Math was no longer in the state he was in before they came. And we have no idea how magic Mr. Luke happened. Okay, that's what we call our friend Luke. We call him Mr. Luke. And we've no idea why Luke and Kaz staying in our house lifted Math and strengthened him. We just know that when they left, he was different than when they came. You see, God sometimes puts people in your world that are going to lift you up and that are going to strengthen you. This year, God promises you strength. And sometimes it is divinely from him. And sometimes, you know, you have that time spent with God and all of a sudden you're strengthened for the day or for the week. And sometimes it's when God puts people around you that he strengthens you. A few years later, it was 2012, I think, and Luke and Kaz were going through some stuff, and the house that they rocked up to was ours. And the same thing that they did for us all those years ago, we were able to do for them. And throughout the summer they came down, we put a tent in our garden and they just camped in our garden for a few weeks, and it was absolutely brilliant, and our kids and their kids get on, and it was fantastic. And there's a mutual thing where actually when we get together we strengthen one another. And it's not because we sit down and have really deep and meaningful conversations either. Just being together strengthens us. Do you know what? Maybe God's put some people in your world that are going to be that for you and do that for you. Because God sometimes strengthens us through other people. If we want to experience strength for the year, we're going to need to spend time with him and spend time with some of the right people. So number one, promise. God promises you strength for the year ahead. Number two, God promises you peace. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, which is what we've just done this morning in our church service, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know what? This year, God promises peace in the middle of the storm. He promises calm in the middle of the chaos. He promises a lack of anxiety as we go through life. I don't know if you've ever struggled in that way, but I want to say to you this morning, directly out of the Word of God, over your life this year, God promises you peace. And I've said this before, one of my favorite quotes actually, is that peace is not the absence of noise, but it's the presence of God. He promises you peace this year. He promises you a peace that transcends all understanding. At those times when you shouldn't have peace, God promises you peace. At those times when you should be in turmoil, God promises you this morning that in your soul and in your inner man, you can experience peace. Do you know what? The enemy wants to rob us of peace, because if we live with constant worry, it takes away from what we can have in God. If worry fills that void and that place in us that the Holy Spirit wants to fill and wants to bring peace into us, the longer that the enemy can keep you worrying, sometimes, and this is like what it is for me, sometimes the further I take myself away from the peace that God offers. Because God, the Bible tells us that God never changes. So say God is here and he's looking over and he's seeing, let's pick on Mel, right? And he's seeing Mel and he's seeing this. So can you just stand up for us, Mel? Thanks. You can tell me off later. And he's seeing maybe some of the stuff that you're going through, and God is offering you peace. And say you're in like a church service like this, or you've had time with God, and you begin to walk towards God. Okay. You can walk to, I am the Lord right now. Okay. And you begin to walk towards God, and all of a sudden, okay, you're out of that environment and worry seems to be coming into your mind again, and the stuff that takes away peace comes into your mind again. And all of a sudden, God never changes. God never changes where he is, okay? He is always there offering you peace. But as we let worry and doubt and all things like that come in, all of a sudden we begin to walk away a bit. And then we get back in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, peace begins. Hello. All of a sudden, peace begins to come again. You can go and sit down. Thank you. You see, God doesn't change, and he's always there, and he's always promising you peace. But what does it say in Philippians, in what we read out? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, the enemy knows that he can't do anything with the prayers offered up to heaven. Once you have spoken them and God has heard, he cannot do anything. So this is his strategy. Let's stop you asking. Let's stop you praying. Let's fill that part of you with worry and with fear and with all the things, okay, that cause us to kind of turn away again from what God is offering us and what God is promising us. This year, God promises you peace. When we are filled with worry, the space for faith is depleted. But this year, let's go for faith and let's let go of worry. Think back over the last 12 months. Where has there been a lack of peace in your life? What has that worry been about? What has that sometimes struggling to find faith been about? In that area this morning, God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have peace. It's his promise over your life this year. Number three, see, I told you I wasn't going to be double the time just because I've got double the points, right? Number three, God promises you this year someone to walk with you. I love this promise. Someone to walk alongside you. Someone to champion you. He says this in Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you know what? Sometimes it's enough to know we're not alone. Sometimes it's enough to know somebody is walking alongside us. Somebody is walking with us. Loneliness sometimes can be so crushing. But God this morning wants you to know. His promise is that you don't walk alone. His promise is that you don't walk into situations by yourself. His promise is that he is with you in everything. He is walking beside you. In fact, the Bible even tells us that God has walked ahead of us, that he has prepared our way. And even when we walk into sometimes what seems like storms, God has already prepared a way through for us. Already prepared it. God, to this year, he promises his vow to you, his solemn promise to you, is that he will be with you in every situation, in everything that we go through. He is there, even when other people cannot be. Even when, you know, there are times when you're maybe sat and there's no one else around, and God wants you to know, actually, I'm around. And we might not be able to physically see him, but I tell you something, I know when God is with me. I can feel his presence, or I read something in the Bible, or I read something in a book that I'm reading, or someone sends me a text. The other week I got into the office and there was a card on my desk. And my friend sent me a card, doesn't live in Louth. And the card on the front, it just said, "You're killing it." And inside she just wrote, "Whatever it is, you're absolutely doing great. Just keep on going." You know, and all of a sudden, God comes and he lets us know, actually, someone's walking with you. And my friend just said, "Just felt God tell me to send you this card, Joe." Incredible. God's walking with you. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up." Two are better than one. You've always got somebody by your side. Even if it's not someone in the physical, God is always there. His vow and his promise to you this year is that he is going to walk beside you. He is going to be with you. The fourth thing, and I think, you know, I think this is one of my favorites that I'm looking at that I've studied this week. The fourth thing is simply this, that God delights in you. Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Do you know what? Whatever our lives have been, those bits that we're proud of, those bits that we're not proud of, do you know this morning that there is a Father in heaven who takes great delight in you? I love what it says in the Bible, that he rejoices over you with singing. Yesterday, my kids went to their first ever football match. I can't say that they were rejoicing with singing as Grimsby lost, but you know, they kind of went into the atmosphere where it doesn't matter what happens, they are going to sing. Maybe they sang some things that we probably wouldn't have wanted our kids to hear. But they, you know, they were singing their hearts out for a team that were losing, okay? And they carried on singing, and they FaceTimed me at halftime, and they're like, oh, this is amazing, Mom. This is fantastic. And then Ollie got a bit bored in the second half because Grimsby still hadn't scored. But you know, all of a sudden, you go into the atmosphere and there's songs being sung and there's chants being made. Do you know what? It's not using the same words, obviously, because God uses only the good words. But God, you know, God sings over you. God delights over you. God just absolutely thinks you are amazing. You know, I could bore all of you with talks about my kids. I probably do most Sunday mornings, right? But I could talk about them from morning till night. Even when I've had one of those days with them, you know what those days are like? Yep, if you're past that stage, you're grinning because you do know what they're like, but you no longer have them. If you're in those stage, you're grinning through gritted teeth. And if you're not in that stage, you think it will never happen to you. Let me tell you something, yes, it will. Okay? We all have those days. But even on those days, I will tell you only the good stuff about my children. Because they're my kids. And I love them. And I think they're incredible. Even on those days, I'll go into their room when they're asleep at night and go, they're not that bad. Even on those days, God, they're amazing. God, help today, to help tomorrow be better. But they're absolutely incredible. And I could talk about them all the time. Why? Because I take great delight over them. Because they're mine. And as we go through this year, I want you to remember that there is someone who is championing you. There is someone who is cheering you on. There is somebody, you know, I kind of have this vivid imagination of God talking to the angels about you. And you know, God talking to the angels going, you know, to Angel Gabriel, God and Angel Gabriel having a conversation going, did you see Paul Hilton leading worship this morning? That was incredible. Love the story about the reading the Bible in his Specsavers office. That was amazing. And it's God championing you. You know, as he looks through your life this week, even in those parts that you may think you've not done great in, God is championing you. He is taking great delight in you. He is rejoicing over you. For some of us, that's hard to hear because maybe we've not experienced that much in life. But I want to tell you this morning, there is one who is championing you and who is delighting in you and who thinks you are absolutely incredible. And as you go through your year, let that give you confidence. As you go through your year, let that give you a reason to get up and keep going because there is one who is cheering you on. Who is standing in the stadiums of heaven and he is cheering you on as you run your race, as you're in your lane, as you're doing your thing, as you're bringing the kids up, as you're cleaning the house, as you're going to the job that you may not like, but you know that you've got to, you know, as you're serving in the house of God, as you're helping your neighbors, as you're doing whatever it is you're doing, as you're in your lane, as you're running your race, he is championing you. He is cheering you on and he takes delight in everything that you do. And he goes around and he says to the angels, have you seen that lot in Louth? God's championing us. He's delighting in us. The root of the meaning of that verse, I kind of dug a little deeper in it. When it says that God takes delight in us, the root meaning of that verse says he will give a display of joy over you. God's not up in heaven secretly, silently thinking you're great. There's a display of joy that comes over God's face when you get up in the morning. There's a display of joy in heaven when you begin to do those things that he has marked out for you. There's a display of joy in heaven when you are winning in your race. There's a display of joy in heaven on that day when you don't give up. There's a display of joy in heaven on that day where you just come and you say, God, I feel weak, but you're going to strengthen me and I'm going to run my race and I'm going to do the thing that you've told me to do and I'm going to have joy while I'm doing it. There is a display in heaven over your life because he delights in you. Are we getting this morning? That it's not he delights, you know, just in the good things. Even in those times where we feel we've messed it up, God goes, come on. And as we begin, you know, we might feel that we're down here. We might feel that actually, you know, we're a bit low. We're a bit, I've messed that up. I've done that wrong. I've kind of made a mistake in that area. But you know what? As God begins to give us strength, as God begins to give us what he needs to give us, as we begin to stand up, as we begin to get up, the cheers in heaven begin to roar and he is delighting. There is a display of joy as you begin to stand to your feet again and begin to get back into your lane and run your race. He delights over you. He champions you. You may never have experienced that before. You know, I'm told that I've got to kind of calm down where it goes to go and see my kids in things. We had a sports day last year. And there was a row of Generations Church parents. There was myself, there was Diane and James, there was Liz and Paul, there was Ali, okay, and there may have been a few more. And all our kids were in the same team. They were all in green t-shirts. And I tell you, it didn't matter which of them were running, we were all on our feet because they were all on the same team and we were going to cheer for them. And as they got up to do the race, we would stand up and all you could see all the parents looking at us thinking, it's that lot again. Seriously, how many children do you have? Okay, because we were up in nearly every race and we were screaming their name and we were cheering for them. If I'd have done that to Caitlin, she would have died a million deaths, okay? But Ollie was just like, yep, you cheer my name, people. Come on, okay? And we were screaming for them and we were just shouting for anyone in a green t-shirt, okay? And because we wanted our team to win. Do you know what? As you begin to run your race, as you begin to get up, as you begin to start this year, as you begin to make changes in life this year, God is on his feet. And he's even louder than we were at St. Michael's School Sports Day. God is on his feet and he is cheering you on. To get nothing else this morning, know that he champions you. He champions you. Number five, God promises that you will reap a harvest. I've been looking at this verse quite a lot lately and it just says this in Galatians 6 verse 9. And don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Do you ever feel like all you do is sow? Do you ever feel, not naturally sow, as in sow, sowing and reaping, okay? I never feel like I just sow. I never sow. It doesn't happen. But do you ever feel like all you do is sow? Do you ever feel like all you do is the hard work? Do you ever feel like all you do is keep going? A little bit like Groundhog Day sometimes. Okay, we're going to make another packed lunch. We're going to, you know, I'm going to sow something else into my kids. I'm going to sow something else into the person at work that I've been praying for. And all you feel like you do is that. Well, this is what Galatians say. Don't allow yourself to become weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. Because the time for reaping is coming. And actually, this was a word that I felt to speak over this house, not just over us as individuals. That the season of reaping, if we keep going, is on its way. That the season of reaping in so many different ways, if we keep on going, the season of reaping is on its way. What areas of life have you been tirelessly sowing into? Keep going, because the season's about to change. Keep going, because it's not always going to be that you're sowing. You will end up reaping. Sometimes we miss the reward because we give up before breakthrough comes. We can live this year with the promise that God promises a reward, that God promises a harvest, that God promises a reaping. You know, we can all look at those failings and those ways in which we might have done it wrong, but God wants us to reap good things. Do you know what? This morning, God sees where you've got it right. God doesn't always look at where you get it wrong. God sees where you've got it right. And there will come a reaping into those places. Those of you who've been around church a long time will remember a lady called Sis Holmes. And some of you, that's kind of a bit of a, let's go back into the memory, into the archive of our memories. And when I first came here nearly 22 years ago, Sis was one of the older generation in our church. And we used to have a building on Wellington Street, and Sis's house was just across the road from Wellington Street on Ramsgate. And during the morning service, she would take the kids to her home. And she would do like Sunday school for them and all of that. And I can remember they brought us in and everything changed. And I was kind of wondering how Sis would feel about it. And I can remember having a conversation with her one day. And if there's one thing I always remember about Sis, it's her smile. She just had this smile that was just amazing. I can remember sitting down with her one day and going, Sis, are you okay with all of this? She was like, what do you mean, am I okay? I'm like, well, it's all changing and you've done the kids for years and now we're changing it. And we used to do it where the kids didn't even come into church. They had their kids' church at a separate building and just everything changed. And she looked at me, she grabbed hold of my hand and she says, oh, Joe, this is what I've prayed for. I remember the first year we were here, we did what we call a progressive supper. And we called it something a bit more cooler than that because it was with the youth. But basically, we went to one house for our starter, another house for our main course, and another house for our dessert. And we walked to the different houses. And we were saying that we were going to do this. And she came, she said, Joe, could I do the starter? Like, Sis, that would be amazing. And like her front room was so tiny. It was unbelievable. Those of you who ever went to see it was so small, wasn't it? And we packed in there like 25 young people, all in fancy dress. And she made us this starter. And the youth were like, thank you so much, Sis. Because we'd said, you know, we're going to people's homes. You need to say thank you. We told them. And a bit like we told you all to sing last week at the funeral. We told our youth, okay? And they're like, oh, Sis, that was absolutely amazing. And we took about 40 young people to youth camp one year. And we came back and we were talking about, I said, Sis, we were one of the biggest youth groups there. And she says, Joe, I prayed for this for so long. Do you know what? I reaped what she sowed. So for some of you who might think, you know, and she saw it as her reaping, not as mine. And she didn't have tons to do with the youth, but she had prayed for years and years and years and years that God would send young people into the church. Do you know what we have today? It's pretty much down to her. We may have done some of the hard work. These guys over here have done a lot of the hard work. But the initial sowing into what we have today in our church was done by people of that generation. This is what God promises over our year. He promises that we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest in those areas that you're struggling in. Maybe it's in the area of finance. As we give, we will reap. As we sow, we will reap. The Bible says this, don't be fooled, a man reaps what he sows. I want to say to you, some of you have sown into this house for so long. Thank you so much. Because we're going to reap what people have sown. And I believe that over this year, that is a word over our church, that we're going to begin to reap a harvest. And then lastly, number six, God promises that you will prosper. The verse that most of us know, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, says this, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you know God always has the ace up his sleeve? God always has the winning hand. God always has that thing that we need so that we can win at what he's asked us to do. This year, I want to speak over your life. Actually, God promises that you will prosper. I'm not talking a lottery type of prosperity. I'm not talking, you know, give me £1 million, Lord, and he drops it from the sky. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you in your life, in your world, in your career, in your family life, in those areas that might be difficult. God this year promises that you will prosper. I love the book. I love the verse in the book of Jude that says, and I pray that you'll prosper even as your soul prospers. The most important part of us to prosper is not our bank balance. The most important, although if the Lord deems to do that, the most important part of us to prosper is not even our career. The most important part of us to prosper is our soul. That person no one else sees. The you that isn't always put on display. God this year promises you will prosper. Joseph in the Bible prospered even through trials. And this year, let's pray through our circumstances and believe as Joseph did, that what was meant for our harm is turned around for our good. God promises this year that you will prosper. Maybe you've got stuff going on that you just go, just, I'd love someone to pray for that. Why not email me or text me and go, Joe, on Tuesday, can you just be praying for this? Don't let me have to make up the list. Because we want to pray for you on Tuesday. Maybe there's something in your world. Maybe there's something in your life. This year, I believe that God wants you to know. He promises that you will prosper. God doesn't want us to be stagnant in any area of life. But he wants us to be flourishing and he wants us to be prospering. He wants us to prosper in our friendships, in our relationships, in our career, in our ministry, in our home, with our kids. God wants us to prosper in every area of our life. And he says this, I know the plans that I've got for you. And this is my kind of tag on. So if you follow those plans, they're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and they're plans for your future. I want to say to you this morning, Generations Church, God's promise over your life this year is that you would prosper. And we need to begin to dare to speak out some of these things. We need to begin in the middle maybe of situations to go, actually, God, this situation says this, but you promised me peace. So God, I'm not going to be anxious about anything. But as I come to you in prayer right now, I'm going to believe that the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to fill my heart and fill my mind and guard my heart in Christ Jesus. And we begin to speak out the promises of God in those areas that you don't feel like you're prospering in. Actually, God, you know, when I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to believe that I'm going to prosper in some way. Maybe it's going to be a conversation I have. Maybe it's going to be a new friendship I strike up. Maybe it's going to be some new business coming my way. Maybe it's going to be a breakthrough, it could be anything, whatever it is this morning. You know, we begin to say, God, you know the plans that you've got for me and your plan is that I'm there right now. And so, Lord, I pray your plans are not meant to harm me, but they're meant to prosper me. So, God, I'm praying in that situation that you will prosper me in all that I do. God, this morning wants you to know his vow over your life for this year. And they are promises that you can live by. They are promises that you can take home. I wanted to give you something very practical that you can take away with you this morning. And whatever you face this year, whatever you're going to hit tomorrow, whatever it is, whatever situation you're going to be in, the good, the bad, the ugly, there's something in there for that. Maybe you're in a season that is just sweet right now and you can come and say, God, thank you that you delight in me. In this season, thank you that you're championing me. God, I can see that you're championing me. But this morning, these are promises that we can live by. He promises you strength for the year, peace. He promises that he's walking beside you. He promises that he's delighting in you. He promises that we will reap a harvest. And he promises that we will prosper. So this morning, let's live by the right standard this year. Let's live by the right standard and let's allow God to do something in us.